Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
Oh, hello, everybody. What did we title this thing here? Mental health awareness. This is episode 75, and we're just going to go right to it. Is it mental day today? Health day? Let me see. October 10th. It certainly is. So what a topic of conversation this is going to be with me and Siri, because Mags is not here just yet. She's late. She's running late. What else is new? Okay, so I've seen a couple of posts already on Instagram, so I just thought that I would also give my take on this health, mental health day. Because I feel like it. And why not? Why not address it with a couple of spiritual aspects of it? Well, on the heels of what I was reading, what do I always say on the heels of? On the heels of what I was reading on Instagram, I thought to myself, because everybody has their own take on mental health awareness and their own kind of remedy. And I'm telling all of this for you because this is my take. I like to simply apply life truths with Bible truths. Do you know what I mean? I like to address things with what the Word of God has to say because an opinion can change and it can waver. So I like to look at the Word of God in regards to having these challenges, okay, mentally. And I know this whole week has kind of been like, you know, what to do when you're feeling the blues, what to do when you're stuck in a rut, what to do when you feel hopeless and discouraged. And I hope like this entire week has given you a little bit of insight of what the Word of God has to say in regards to taking control over your life and getting back on track. Because ultimately, for mental health awareness, the fight is yours and yours alone. And I say the fight because you literally can, there's just two options. You can give up and quit and succumb to the depression and the mental fatigue and the struggle and all of that. Or you can rise up and take dominion over your mind, as stated in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God hasn't given us a power of fear or the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness of mind, control over your thoughts. Now, I am no doctor. I'm prefacing all of this stuff, okay? If you're you know, suicidal, if you know, there's something in there, like go and seek help. There is nothing wrong with seeking help. As a Christian, I'm telling you that if you are at a place where you it's overwhelming, you feel suicidal, there is a suicidal tendency, and it's just a very dark place, there is nothing wrong with stretching out your hand and asking for help, okay? So I'm just saying, find some help for those of you right now that may be struggling with this in this area. Stop being so prideful and so arrogant that you feel like you have to do this alone. You know, the Word of God says, you know, confess each other's sins. Confess your sins to another brother. And it's not necessarily like I'm addicted to the, no, it's just I'm having this issue in my life right now and I need for you to help me. I need prayer. I need for you to join faith with me. And if you don't have anybody, we would be happy to pray for you. We would be happy to, you know, help you whatever way we can. So our phone number at Revival Today is, do you have that number, Rom? He's going to put it up. 412-787-2578. Okay. Now this is I'm telling you, you can call our office and we'd be happy to pray for you. Stand in faith, stand in the gap for whoever it is that you maybe are believing for a breakthrough with. We would love to pray for you. We would love to lend counsel wherever you might need, okay? However, this is not don't call here so that you can get this is not like a lifeline. Like if you are really in dire need of, go and seek the medical attention that you might need. Okay. I'm saying this as a faith booster and a faith, injector, if you want infused with faith. But I'm also talking to the people that maybe you're at your wit's end mentally, you're not there, you are wanting to cause damage to yourself, or maybe somebody around you want to cause harm to yourself or somebody around you. I need you to seek some help, and it's okay. Don't religion will do that to you. Religion will zap you of trying to get better, and you think like this is just God showing me something. No, you need help. That's okay. That's okay to do that. Go and get help. That's okay. Where I'm coming at is what the Word of God has to say in regards to depression, in regards to sadness, even thoughts of suicide. What does the Bible have to say about that? Is there anything the Word of God has to say about that? Yes, lots of things. Lots of things. And so as I was reading everybody's comments, people were saying like, it's okay to be sad. And that's true. Like I've been through, the passing of my son back in May. That was very difficult. That was something that was a very sad moment in time in my life. But I did not allow for that sorrow to take over and for me to, just marinate in it until it just started to break me down. And, when you marinate a meat, there's a chemical thing that happens where the meat just breaks down. That's why it's so tender and juicy. And, these negative thoughts have a tendency to marinate on the inside of you, that it starts breaking you down in your body. All of a sudden, you're seeing these symptoms of heart palpitations. We were talking about it in Psalm 55 earlier this week. How, when David was overwhelmed, he said, I'm literally overwhelmed with fear. I have heart palpitations. I can't rest. I feel like running away. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'd like to address, because, if you allow it to fester, it's gonna unravel. It's going to get out of control. And I just want you to know, we all have our moments. Believe it or not. Okay, believe it or not, we all have been there. Even, can you believe it, the men of God. What? Yeah. So for those of you that maybe have never heard this podcast, welcome. This is my podcast, Adala Shuttlesworth. Subscribe, as my daughter would say, subscribe. And I want to remind you of what the Word of God has to say in regards to what you are facing. Because in the middle of a breakdown mentally, or in the middle of your sadness and a fear that overwhelms you, you have the tendency to feel like you're alone. And I want you to back on up and dale los frenos. Boom, hit the brakes and read Romans 8:28 and 29. Is it? Let me just check, because I wrote 38. I don't think it is. You know what? I'll just look it up in this laptop. I'll read it to you while I'm looking, but I will cross-reference it. And so it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Yep, 8:38, not 28. 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present or future, any power, any heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So why am I bringing this up? Because it doesn't matter what you're dealing with right now, nothing can separate you from God's love. So whatever you've experienced, and I'm talking real things today, people, hashtag real talk with me. Okay, we're not about the watering down and trying to make this, something that's unattainable or whatever. When we think about mental health, when we think about getting better, and when we think about Christianity, all kind of like lumped up into one thing. I want you to remember, as a believer, as a Christian, people are facing these same exact things. And you think, well, you know, then am I even really saved if I'm going through this? Yes, you are. And it's one, it's okay, but two, always remember that you're never alone, and that nothing, regardless of what has happened, what has transpired in your life, it doesn't matter. God's love will remain. So always, always, just never, ever forget that God loves you. He cares for you. He cares about your well-being. He loves you so much. And maybe you've never encountered that. And I don't know. I don't know everybody's story. Everybody's take on life is completely different. Some of you have grown up in the most amazing homes with a Christian mother and father. Some of you were raised with your grandmother. Some of you were in foster care. And some of you have never really experienced the love of a person, a true, genuine, like, love. And I'm telling you, this kind of love only comes from Jesus Christ. And when you have that to fall back on, you know, that's our hope. Our hope is that Jesus loves us and he cares so much about us that he did everything he possibly could do to get us out of the state that we're in. Jesus died, and I know this is elementary, but I want to take it to this level so that you know that what you're going through, there was a price that was paid for that. So that you didn't have to go through that. Because if you continue to just pacify it and you continue to make room for it, it will continue to grow and grow and grow. Like I said before, you marinate until it starts breaking up. It starts breaking your mind down, your body. It just, things begin to break if you allow this thing to marinate. Don't allow that fear. Don't allow that oppression to marinate. And some of you, you might think, well, I can't help it. And that's just not true. That's just not true. You can help it. You can help. And I'm addressing the people that are full of stress and anxiety and fear and depression. I'm talking to you, and I know I'm going to get hate on this. I know it. I know I'm going to get hate, but save the drama for your mama. I don't want to hear it. I'm taking it based on what the Word of God says to a believer. And the Word of God says, do not succumb to the spirit of fear, because you have power and love and a clear mind, a sound mind, control over your thoughts. And we understand via today's broadcast about God's grace, how everything is readily available to a person, to a Christian. But what's it going to take? It's going to take faith in Jesus Christ that this is accessible to me. You know, for so many of us, we feel like, wow, all of those promises are over there. But how do I get over there? I don't know what to do to attain these promises like joy and abundance of life and all of this stuff. And I'm saying the only way to bridge the gap between you and God's promise is to simply take it by faith. And what do you do when you take it by faith? He releases a word, right? And faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when you receive that word of God and you put it into effect, you put it into play in your life. And even you might even think like, I don't in the natural, I feel like, how is this ever going to work out? How is this ever going to get any better? But I'm gonna stick with the word. I'm going to, say the word. I'm going to recite it every single day. I'm gonna do things that the word says that I can do. I can be grateful. I can be joyful, because gratefulness gives way to joy, right? So all of those things I have to do, I have to train my mind to do. And this is like a very important concept for people that are in depression and in anxiety, and maybe even have thoughts of suicide, is the way to step out of that is a reprogramming. And that's not going to come, can it come overnight? Absolutely. Miracles do happen. Yes, absolutely. But the lasting effect, the way to really transform and renew that thought process is by the word of God, because the word of God is a healing. There's a medicinal quality about the word of God. So when you train yourself, it's a reprogramming, and it's not necessarily going to work overnight. It's a training. Why do I say that? Because there's so many people, and I've gotten like contact, just email after email or message after message about, I've done this and it just doesn't seem to be working for me. And I say, well, okay, I wrote out what needed to be done. I gave you step by step as to what needed to be done. And how long have you been doing it? 2 days. Okay, so you haven't seen a turnaround in 2 days. When you get medicine from a doctor, they'll even say, you got to give it some time for this to kick in. Maybe it'll work in a week. Maybe it'll take a month or so to really kick in. So just kind of like give it some time, but you need to be consistent in taking that medication, or else what? It just goes kaput. Right? If you're on antibiotics, they say you need to finish out the prescription, because if you don't finish it out, that virus, that infection, has the potential to fester up again and build itself up again. So you got to finish out that prescription. Some of us, we see the remedy with just 3 or 4 pills, and then we stop taking it, and all of a sudden the thing comes back on, and you're like, man, it didn't work. And so the first thing the doctor is going to say is, did you finish the prescription? And you're going to be like, no, I stopped at 4 because I saw the benefit of it and just stopped. This is the prescription. The word of God is always the prescription. And you don't just give it 2 or 3 days. You don't just give it a week or two weeks or a month. You keep at it, and you keep at it until you see the benefit, because the word of God says that this is the answer. The word of God is the answer for all of life's problems. It's the light to your path. It's medicine to your body. So if we recognize it as such, then we are more diligent to seek after it. And so some of us have alarms set. Like, oh, I got to take this prescription, and this is coming for this and this and that, and we can't follow suit in our own spiritual walk, and that's where the breakdown happens in your mind, because this is where the devil is going to attack 100 times out of 100, and he's done it since the beginning of time. If you look at the Garden of Eden, he didn't plague Eve with some type of sickness no, he just started perverting the truth that was already on the inside of her, and had her begin to question the promises of God. And it was there that she took the bait. And it started in the mind. That's why the devil still continues to use the mind as the battleground. And if you're not prepared, you'll lose that battle. If you don't have the word hidden in your heart to come back at the devil with whatever lie he has thrown at you, you're going to die early. What's this worth? What's this life worth living? Why were you even born? You should have died in your mother's womb. There's Job. Job even had that thought come into his head. Read it. Job 3. He's like, why did I? It's literally a whole chapter of him, damning the day that he was born, literally. And so, I'm not an idiot. I'm not under a rock. I know what people face. I know that people have had those thoughts come into play. What's the sense of life? Why am I even here? I've had that happen to me, where I'm like, why am I here? What's the purpose of this life as a believer, as a Christian? And I also have had it when I wasn't a Christian. And I can tell you right now, it's way better on the other side because there's hope. Whereas before, I didn't really see the hope. And thank God I got saved when I did, because I was in a dark place before salvation. I would cut myself, and I wasn't good at it. But I wouldn't cut my wrists, but I definitely cut like the inside of this, because there was this quality that cutting gave me that numbed my mind, because I was in pain on my flesh that it took away from the pain that was in my heart or my mind. So that's why I gravitated towards cutting my flesh. But I see now in the word of God, when the prophets of Baal, they were trying to call on the prophets of Baal, they would begin to do as their normal custom was to cut themselves with knife. That's a demonic spirit that loves to see it satisfies itself. It gets its satisfaction rather in seeing the children of God, you know, being just cut up and injured and suffering. It loves it. And so it was in the Bible long ago. It's still here. These spirits don't die. They manifest themselves in a different way, acknowledging first and foremost that everything that's happening in your body, in your mind, there's a root to it. Because first God was a spirit, and then he created, right? He gave that out of his breath is where life came about. And what we see in the natural, we could touch and we feel and we taste. That's what came after the breath of God. The spirit of God came out and birthed that. So we know that there's a spiritual root first and foremost to everything that we might see or feel. And so that's why we need to address these things based on the word of God, because this is the solution. This is Jesus Christ is the solution for everything. And I don't care what you say. Well, that's not true. No, it is, because there's hope in him. And he leads us and guides us in the way that we should go. His word, it's his love. It's his presence. It's everything. It's everything. And so in Psalm 130, verse 7, it says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love, and his redemption overflows. Psalm 119:49 says, remember your promise to me. It's my only hope. The word of God is your only hope. And we know that when we hope in the Lord, that there's unfailing love and redemption that overflows towards us who believe. So that's your promise today. And let me remind you what Jeremiah 29:11 says, but maybe some of y'all have recited it so much that it's just null and void in your heart. Let me just say that he has plans for you, plans to prosper you and never to harm you. In another version, it says plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And another version said to give you a future and an expected end. So that's your portion as a believer. That's your portion as a child of God, not to take your life before it's time. Not to be so hopeless because of your circumstances and the things that have transpired in your life that you feel like giving up and there's no hope, there's no joy in life. That is not your portion. You need to see that this is an attack on your life mentally to get you off of the course that God has for you. I would that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. So the choice is yours ultimately. And it's interesting when the Lord said this in Deuteronomy, he said it to his people. Today I give you a choice. Choose life or choose death. Choose blessing or choose cursing or curse or whatever. Oh, that you would choose life so that what? So that you and your descendants might live. So, you know, I want to remind you that your actions, they don't just impact you. They impact your children. They impact the people that are around you. They impact the generations to come. So, you know, this should be dealt with. And by the power of God, through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, he will walk you out of this seemingly impossible scenario. I promise you. I promise you. I've been there. I've been where it's dark. I've been where it's lonely. I've been where it's like, I don't know if I'll ever get out of this. I don't know if I'll ever make it out. And then you come out of that and you see, man, you are so faithful, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, for your compassion, for your mercy. And he'll walk you step by step. But don't give hope. Don't give up hope in God. I want you to know, Job literally was cursing the day he was born. Moses, in Numbers 11:13, asked God to kill him. He's like, I literally cannot take the pressure. I'm stressed out. Your people are stressing me out. And I want you to kill me, Lord. Kill me right now. Moses. Jonah, he wanted to die too. He's like, just take me out. I don't see this life is worth living. Just, I don't even know why I was born. Elijah got so depressed. And this is after seeing the miracles manifested in his life. And Jezebel's got it out for him. And so he's under this tree and he's like, Lord, take me now. Take me, kill me right now. Lord, take me. I can't do it. And in fact, it says, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elisha. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow, I don't make your life like that of one of them. So all of the prophets of Baal were killed because of this wonderful miracle that God manifested himself in, right? So literally, here's the prophet who's just experienced a supernatural act of God killing off all of the prophets of Baal, which obviously were in Jezebel's pockets. And so Jezebel finds out about this and she's like, you're gonna be sorry that you were ever born. And he was. And Elijah was afraid. Look at that. Y'all, some of y'all don't want to talk about that. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. It's that same instinct when fear comes. It's like, fight. Are you going to fight it or are you going to try to flee from it? And Elijah, this time around, he's like, I'm running. I'm out of here. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He actually prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. How many of you have had enough? You've actually told God, I have had enough. I can't be in this relationship another single second of another day. I can't take it anymore. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. 1 Kings 19:1-4. Okay. So, you know, these things are not, they're not things that are just like such a rarity with believers and the men, the mighty men of God in the Bible. These are not like, you know, things that just never transpired. They did. Jesus even felt that sadness and despair. He was praying, God, let this cup pass from me. Do you know what that is? To feel that, where you're literally sweating drops of blood. I actually watched a History Channel special about the ability to sweat drops of blood. And you know what they said? It's absolutely possible. And we've seen it with people that are being tortured, people that are undergoing major, major stress, that when they start sweating, beads of blood begin to come about out of, like, literally, they just sweat blood. And just like the word of God says, that Jesus, even Jesus was in this position of overwhelming, stress, to say the least. If you know you're going to die and it's not going to be a pretty sight, you know what you're going to undertake in the days to come. That would kind of leave you stressed out, to say the least, in despair, with anxiety that you're like, let this pass from me, Lord. But nevertheless, and this is not your will, I'm saying this about Jesus, who ushered us into a new dispensation, a dispensation of grace and forgiveness, right? So you're not ushering us into any new kind of dispensation, no offense. That was the work of Jesus, and his work was complete. So I'm not saying this is something that you have to pray, God, let this pass from me. I'm depressed, but nevertheless, your will be done. If you want me to be depressed and sad my whole life, I'll do it. That's not the will of God. You need to learn the word, because the word of God says that he will give you joy for his, he took on your sorrow so that you might walk in joy and peace and love. He put on a poverty so that you might be rich. He died so that you would live. So all of these things, you got to get that. It's that breaking that mentality of like, I got to suffer through this. And that's not the case. That is absolutely not the case. And I know that some of you guys want that answer, and you want that push of a button where it's an exit button, right? It's like that. If you guys ever watch cartoons, and there was like this button that you would press, and you're wherever you're at, like a chair would come from underneath you and kind of like pop you up into the air and out of that situation that you were in. Lots of people want that kind of a remedy, and that's just not something that is real. It's not real. You want an exit button? Mags is going down the stairs, and now she's coming up the stairs. Oh, she's got the elevator. Oh, there she is. There she is. Okay, there she is. So she's joining us late. She has no idea. She has no idea what we were talking about. So forgive her. Okay. We're talking about serious stuff.
I just tackled like 10 projects at the same exact time.
Good for you. I'm happy about that. So we're talking about mental health.
Good, because I'm going to need some help there. Woo! Look at my hair. Oh.
I'm saying you may want to push that button, and you're in despair. You're in desolation. There's hopelessness. There's an overwhelming sense of giving up. You know, that's a natural response to something that you feel like is out of your hands, like the certain situations and things that have transpired in the years before, you know, in your past, which is why the word of God is so imperative to have, because, you know, even Paul said, I focus all of my energy on this one thing, forgetting the past. That's so why important. That's not like something that's supposed to be like poetry. It's to compel you and to motivate you to do the same. And you know, there's lots of times where I might have missed it. I might have not done something correctly, but I forget that because it's in my past. I can't change it. The past will remain the past. I can't change it. So I'm focusing my energy on this one thing, my future. And my future is guaranteed to be good because of Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, let me remind you that God's plans are for good and never to harm you, never for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So that's what I cling on to. I can't change the past. And some of you that are listening right now is you want to somehow crucify yourself, so to speak. You want this sadness and depression to remain because you feel it's due you because you had 6 abortions in the past. And, you had, you know, you were physically abused, you were a child and you were sexually abused, and you carry the weight of this world because somehow you feel like it's your right to be in this sadness mode, to be in this depression mode, to be in this desperation, and because of what has transpired in your life. And I'm telling you, that is not your portion. That is not what God has intended for your life. So you need to do me a favor and quit going back there. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed your sin, your transgression from you. So you keep bringing it back up. Like, God's like, wait, I don't even remember that. But you keep bringing it up and it keeps bringing you sadness and condemnation. Listen, you didn't know any better. You didn't know at that point that having an abortion was a terrible idea. You didn't know that. You know, like, listen, the blood of Jesus is upon you. That's why when we talk about grace, I'm so thankful for grace, because it was the law that said, if you murder, then you deserved to be murdered. And you know what? Some people carry that same logic still today, when Jesus said, no, we're not about that life. I'll forgive you even of the most crazy thing that you could ever think of, the most, you know, irrational, you know, the greatest abomination. If you come to me with a repentive heart, I'll forgive you and I'll never remember that sin again. I'll never remember. That's why he's such a good God. That's why we need to be so thankful for this kind of grace.
That's right.
Because he forgives us. And he says, not only do I forgive you, I blot that thing out. So your sin might have been scarlet red, but I'll make it so that it's whiter than this piece of paper.
Yeah, the only person that remembers it is you.
And they keep fishing it.
And that's the same reason why Paul said that.
Fishing it.
I do everything that I can to forget the past, because the Lord has.
Mentally, it will be a deterrent for you.
No, 100%.
Because if you keep bringing up the past and the things that you have done, it zaps your strength.
Through. Yeah.
Yeah, it zaps your will to pursue the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many people that, you know, feel like, well, I can't do this because I'd be a hypocrite.
Right.
If I, you know, started saying that abortion isn't right, or a woman, when I had three of them, I had two of them. So like, what kind of stance is that? I pull that trigger. So like, what good is my word? And that's what the enemy would want. He wants to zap your dominion.
Right.
He wants to zap the word ultimately, because if he can take your word, you're kaput.
Right.
And that's why the word of God is so important.
And you did preface that this mental health awareness is for the Christian man and woman, the redeemed.
Correct. I just named a couple of biblical characters that had mental health problems.
Yeah, because for sure.
Yeah. And I said, I also preface this, if you are having a terrible time and you need help, then you need to seek help.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Come on.
So I don't care what anybody says. Well, that's anti-faith for you to get help.
Watch something else. Yeah. Then. Please
go
stop.
Go scratch. I'm gonna go get some help. Okay. But I did make mention of all of the people, and these were just a few. Moses.
Yeah.
Who wanted to die.
100%.
Elijah. He wanted to die.
Elijah.
Job. Cursed the day he was born.
Darn right. So did his wife. How rude.
It's true. His wife got kind of like added fuel to the fire. Jonah was like, take me now. Kill
David
me.
Was like, David, oh, help me, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, David. I forgot about David. Or did I forget? Did I make mention David? I don't know. Psalm 55 is him like fleeing for his life when things get bad. And this is the thing, like we aren't promised a life free from troubles. I never have read that.
You won't, right?
And you know, for you to think that you get saved and all of a sudden it's magic. I never have to have one problem again. It's not true, you know. But the guarantee is that you will have an expected end. that your expected end is going to be good.
And there's the hope.
And there's hope in that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not that God is going to strike you dead before your time. It's that if I follow in with this, right? If I continue in this path, in this lifestyle, it's not just a church service that I clock in and out of. If I live according to what the word of God says, if I meditate on the word day and night, never letting the word depart from me, then all of a sudden I can see its effect coming into my life. And so I want to encourage you, even with Joseph. You know, you've got to be smoking some bad weed to think that he didn't have a down day in his life.
Yeah.
His brother sold him into slavery.
I'm saying that was a man of God.
He had lots of brothers and he was the only one. I mean, talk about dejection.
No kidding.
You couldn't feel more dejected than somebody who just got sold into slavery. What about prison? What about his time in prison?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you there
false
were times
accusations
where he was like, God, what are you doing? I don't see that there's going to be good coming out of this. I've been in here year after year after year. I've been abused. I've been mistreated. And what do I have to show for it? And what a mockery this is. And this and the, you know, I could heap that. That's probably.
I'm sorry. The Lord just answered my prayers. Abel done fix the little path. Come on. Well, he is.
He hears our prayers. There's been a hole on her roof. There's been a hole on her roof that's been there for quite some time.
I'm saying.
And the man of God, he done fix it.
Praise the Lord.
Praise him.
Well,
I rejoice with you, sis.
Thank you.
I rejoice with you. Anyway, so I'm here to encourage you. These issues, these things at hand when it comes to that stuff, man, don't allow for the devil to infiltrate. That's what he takes pleasure.
Yeah.
In seeing you in despair and wanting to kill yourself. He loves that. Because you are God's prized possession. And what do? When you can't really access something, it's like Jonathan had made mention that one time. It's like if you had a cheating husband and he's not at the house, what do you have access to? His nice red truck. So what you're going to do in order to harm him is you go after his prized possession. It's that truck. And you're going to beat the crap out of that truck with your baseball bat or a crowbar or, you know, a baking pin, a rolling pin. You know what I mean? I don't even know technical terminologies for the kitchen. Whoops. Whatever. A golf club. And you're gonna do some damage to something that he loves because you know it's going to affect him. Well, that's how the devil works. And he gets his satisfaction seeing you in despair and wanting to harm yourself. And I'm telling you that if any of these men of God had taken their lives, would have said, given up and said, forget it, this life isn't worth living. I mean, how different things would have turned out. Job got double back what was taken from him. Moses released a new dispensation to the people of God. Elijah not only didn't die, he rode on a chariot of fire into heaven. Joseph saved his people. Jonah saved a city of 120,000 people. Had these men of God had just given up and quit, just the impact of it. It would have been felt throughout all generations. We would still be feeling it had they not stuck with it, stuck with God's word and say, you know what, Lord, I'm staying right here because there's a fight. It's called the fight of faith. And you need to stay put, know that God has plans for you, know that he loves you. Regardless of what's happening, the love of God remains and he's there to help you along the way. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I even formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Selah. I want you to understand that. Okay? Before you were even in your mother's womb. Well, I don't even know who my mother is. She gave me up for adoption. I was a crack baby. And I take all of this stuff, this burden of what's happened in the past, and I'm just fed up with this, and I'm doing this, but God is saying to you right now, don't you give up. Don't you quit, because really the you first give up in your mind before anything, you know, happens in the natural. It's like that I can't do it anymore, I give up. That you succumb to just calling it quits with your marriage, calling it quits with your job, calling it quits with your life, calling it quits with Christianity. That's exactly where the devil would want to have you. So just afflicted and tortured that you forget to focus in on what God has told you. And the honest truth, if you're listening to me right now via podcast, is you should have already been dead. You should have already been dead, but God intervened for you because you are to be here. Your time isn't over. It's not time to quit. It's not time to wave the white flag and surrender. It is time for you to understand God's promise and say, you know what? If these men stuck with it and there was great blessing. See, like Joseph just didn't do it just for him or for his family. He did it to save his nation. You know, you are here. And this is going based on Jeremiah 1:5, that God formed you, even if it was out of rape. A situation that is so desolate and terrible that God is saying, even in that, I had a plan for you. And those plans, I knew before you were even born. Before you even came out of your mother's womb, I looked down at you and I saw that there was potential, because every person has a seed and every person has a potential of growing fruit. And it's always good fruit if you align it with God. If you take what's of you and link it up with God, He will make you to abound. He will make you to be fruitful in every season of your life. And He said, I've sanctified you. Let's read what sanctification means. Yeah, it took me that long to spell it. So what? To cleanse, to purify, or to make holy. Max, did you read that?
Yeah, to cleanse, to purify, to make holy.
So He says, and before you came out of your mother's womb, I have cleansed you, I have purified you, and I have made you holy. So there's nothing right now. This is your promise right now. There's nothing right now that God's like, wow, you are the scum of the earth, and I can never forgive you unless you did the unpardonable sin, but you didn't because you're here listening. And I've sanctified you. I've cleansed you. I've purified you. I've made you holy. Here's another one. I've separated you. I've set you apart. I've appointed you to be holy, so that God can use you. So He's saying this even before anything in your life has transpired. He's saying this over your life right now. I've sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet unto your town. No, unto your city. No, unto the nations. So what you are, who you are, and why you're here is not just to impact you and yourself. It's not just about you. Get over you. Get over yourself. It's not. You're here because God wants to use you as a prophet to the nations. So we see that when Isaac was even born, God said, I am going to give you a nation. Well, that's interesting. He only had one son. So how in the world? But we understand now throughout the years that it was that one son that gave forth to having a nation full of believers. And so that's your impact. That's your impact. That's why God says in the womb, I have this possession right in the womb. And it's not to just affect a family. It's to affect a nation, because out of this one seed, a nation will come forth. And that is what's on the inside of you, believe it or not. And I hope you believe it today, because this is what's going to make the difference, is if you see, you know what? There is potential. And you know what? This is the devil. There should be something on the inside of you that just has a hatred and fuels all of that frustration and sadness, and you fuel it back. Use that fuel and throw it back at the devil's face and say, you're not taking me out. I'm not doing that. I'm not having my sons bury me. I'm not having my daughters have to, you know, deal with this anxiety. I'm lopping the head off of this giant now so that they don't have to do it, so that they can see the victory that I walked in, so that they don't have to do it themselves. Ain't that true? Amen. And so I'm telling you this to encourage you along the way. That have there been times that I wanted to give up and quit? Yes. But did I know? And it was the help of the Lord. It was his word that was hidden in my heart. I was just talking to this about somebody. Back in 2015, I also had a miscarriage. That was something that was, it was like, what do I even believe in? What in the world is happening to me? Like, I'm the evangelist's wife, and my health is wrecked, and you know, X, Y, Z, this can't be happening again. And you know, it took close to 6-7 months for me to really bounce back from that. More than half of a year for me to like come back from that. And now I see that this attack manifested itself again, this year with the loss of my, child. Whereas before I didn't, it wasn't as great a reality as it was for me back in 2015, because it's like, you don't really see anything. I was only like 4 or 5 weeks pregnant at the time. So it was like, you know, there was that kind of disconnect. But when you're feeling that baby move and you're seeing that face, it's a greater dimension. It's a greater weight. And so in the natural, I'm thinking, well, how am I going to bounce back from this? There's right. no, if it took me 6 or 7 months to get out of that one, imagine this mess. Yeah. And I saw that because of the years that I stored the word of God in my heart, mm-hmm. that the bounce back from that was so much quicker. Faster.
Yeah.
It wasn't even half the time.
No.
Not even half the time.
God, no.
Because I started preaching for the devotionals probably like a month after that had happened.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but you came back and it was like, you know, ninja mode, like,
yeah, because
feet up, you were like,
I don't like to be bullied. Yeah. And you know, that's what I felt. Mm-hmm. I felt that was, like something along with other reasons, you know what I mean? I felt that was like the devil's way of trying to get me to quit.
Yeah.
And back out completely.
Right.
Because if you know anything about this, we know we did a whole month segment on
miscarriages. Yeah.
Childbirth. Mm-hmm. Believing God for the fruit of the womb. And those are still available, and I'll still preach that.
That's right.
You know, I'm not the standard.
That's it.
God's word is the standard. And Amen. If you're using me as something like, oh, well, if it didn't work for her, then you got this thing twisted.
No.
You believe in the word of God. That will never fail you. Humans will always fail.
That's it.
We're full of errors.
Finite.
We're finite. But God's word was breathed on by him. It's infallible truth.
That's it.
So we cling on to the word of God. But I'll say that I don't like to be in that mental state.
No.
I don't like it. I feel like I'm, you know, it's a bully, you know, and that's what really, that's how the devil manifests himself,
yeah.
as a bully. And what do bullies do? They talk a talk, right? It's just like Goliath.
Yeah.
you pieces of scum. I don't know what he was saying. Mm-hmm. You know, he was blaspheming the Lord. So who knows what vile and you know, disgusting things were coming out of his mouth. But we do know that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
That tactic worked. Fact. To keep them what? Afraid.
Right, yeah.
Right? And so it's that the lies that you'll never make it out of this. You're never gonna receive that promise. You'll never. What's the sense of living for God? What is the who cares? You know, like who cares? Whatever. So you begin to believe the lie. And then when you begin to believe the lie, there's an element of release that you give the devil into your life.
Oh, fact.
So it's like now, not only did I believe a lie, now he's got free rein
mm-hmm.
to do whatever he'd like. And so now the desperation comes in and the desolation and the thoughts of loneliness. And all of a sudden you're just like overwhelmed with this thing. And it's his tactic for you to believe, just a bully. He wants to spew lies and he's got no manpower. He's zapped of all power.
That's it.
It was taken, the keys of hell, death, and the grave were taken from him through because of Jesus.
Fact.
Right?
Yeah.
So he remains powerless, except he has one tactic. He's a one trick pony.
He's a liar.
And it's his tricks.
Yeah.
His wiles, the schemes, you know, he's a master manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he can manipulate you into thinking that he does have power, when in reality, he doesn't, you know, completely hopeless. Especially if you are a person of the word. And look at Jesus. Every time he was tempted, every time the devil tried throwing something at him, he always responded with the word of God. And that's what did it. That's what made the difference, is knowing the word of God, keeping it hidden in your heart.
That's it.
And understanding this guy's a liar. That's so funny.
I know.
And so it's what the devil would want to put you in a corner. And that's where I felt that I was like, I don't want to be bullied.
No.
I don't. So I'm going for the jugular. I've been saying that a lot because it's like, you want to hurt me. I'm going to turn this against you.
That's it.
Through the help of the Lord, thankfully, because I would not have been able to come out of that had it not been for the Lord. But now I know that it was 100%, you know, something that the devil wanted to accomplish in my life, to destroy my life, to destroy Camila's life, to destroy my husband's life, to destroy your life this ministry's life else. And so I'm like, you know what? Now I'm going after it more than ever. And that's where the Confident came book.
Yeah.
That Confident book came about. And all the other things. It's like now I'm focusing in on the children's ministry aspect of it. It's like, you want to take one of my kids, then you better believe that you're going to rue the day that you were ever born.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do everything it takes. And now my focus is to see that the Mighty Siri comes back to life and that it impacts children, that we can save children, you know, establish their walk in the Lord in greater dimensions. Like I'm going after the children. I know that kind of sounds creepy, but it's I'm going after the souls. I'm going after the children so that they could because these children they're our future.
Yeah.
That's not just a Michael Jackson song.
We are the world.
You know, it's the truth. And so when we go after them and we train them, it's things change. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, and
but had I given up, Mags?
You can't give up.
Don't give
and
up.
You got, you know, it's helpful to tie yourself to a vision like that. Because it'll give you strength and it'll give you purpose.
Fact.
Tying yourself into something, a greater cause, something that's bigger than you.
Yeah. It gives you purpose. Lots of people feel down and out because they don't have a purpose. Mm-hmm. They don't have a true purpose. And it's like you were created. The word of God is to bring impact.
That's it.
To those that are around you. So to be delivered by you know, this to be delivered from your oppression, from your depression, so that what? Not to just keep it for yourself, but to tell other people, this is the way. Yeah. This is the only way. And so when you begin to live for the Lord and to align yourself to what he wants done, which is to see people saved, to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's his number one dream. That's God's number one motivator. And he's waiting and he's waiting and he keeps waiting to send Jesus Christ back down to earth to bring us back up, rapture. He's waiting to give more time for people to be saved. That's how compassionate he is. He keeps waiting. He could have gone back. He could have come back like at any moment, to be honest. But he's waiting so that more people can know about Jesus Christ because he loves them so much.
Amen.
So when you align yourself up with God's dream and you make God's dream a reality, life is worth living. Life is just something that's so good. Really, 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 really good. And I know what I'm talking about because I've seen it. I've seen highly successful men and women who are CEOs of companies. They're in the natural. They have tangible success and they're miserable. They're full of anxiety. They're full of fear. And this is a way through the Word of God, through your consistency in His Word, through your faith in His Word, that all of these things can really save you from great heartache and trouble. If you just stick with it, stick with the Word of God, it will never, ever fail you. Remember, your hope and your hope alone comes from the promises of God, Psalm 119:49. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love, His redemption overflows. He will redeem your life. He'll redeem the times. All of the years that you've spent in sorrow and defeat and anxiety, the Word of God says He'll redeem those times and make your latter end greater than the former. These next few years, if you allow for the Holy Ghost to come in, infiltrate your heart and your mind, and read the Word of God day and night, night and day, stay with it like a medicine. If you allow those things to manifest, He will do more with your life these next 5 years than you could have ever done in 50 years of
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
And He turns it around for your good like this. Boom, 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 boom. What you thought was going to take so long to happen, it's just in one moment's time, God can turn it all around like this. But what it takes is consistency and a reprogramming of your mind to believe and train yourself what the Word of God has to say. You know, truth is your highest form of reality. Lots of people feel like anxiety is forever and it will never go away. That's the highest form of reality to them. But if you make the Word of God the highest form of reality, all of a sudden you begin to see the benefits of that truth, right? So stick with the Word is what I'm saying. I'm saying all of this whole thing to let you know, read your Word, get in your Word. Do not feel hopeless. Don't give up and quit. Look at all of these people that if they've given up, this world would be so much worse had it not been for their consistency and sticking with it. Stick with the Word. Stick with God. Don't give up. Don't quit. It is not your time to die in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank You. And I usually don't end this thing with prayer. But because this is such a deep issue, I thank You, Father God, that just as You saved me, just as You've brought me healing to my mind and my body, I thank You that You'll do the same for every person that's listening to this message, Lord. I thank You that even now, Your wonderful Holy Spirit comes inside that room and saturates it, that they could feel Your overwhelming love and compassion. Father, I thank You that Your plans for them are for good and never to harm us or for disaster, to give us a hope and a future. So, Father, I thank You that from this moment forward, everything changes because we decide that we will fight this fight of faith, stay in Your Word, and declare Your goodness to our children and our children's children. Thank You, Father, for saving our lives. Thank You that Your plan for us is to be a prophet to the nations. There is no small thing that You've had have us do. It's to create great impact. And for that, we say thank You. For that, we say we're not going to give up and quit. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. See you tomorrow.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's. Thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.